Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagle sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast. Another baseball theme in this podcast. Last one was Jason Wirth, who had a lot of interesting things to say about the direction of baseball. This week, it's Pete Rose, and obviously I want to talk about a lot of things. The game, his situation, whether he makes the Hall of Fame, the wrongs he did in the game, John Dowd. I will talk about all of that with Pete Rose in this week's podcast. All right, joining me is the Hit King, and that would be a record that will never be broken. Is the all-time hit record in baseball, and that would be Pete Rose. Pete, how are you doing?
Howard, I'm doing well. Just watching these baseball players play every night, watching these pennant races develop. I'm happy that our Phillies are doing decent. I know they're 4-6 in the last 10 games, and they're going to a place now where, believe it or not, if they wake up the next two or three days, they can make Washington start thinking about next year. You know, there's something missing down there with those Nationals. I don't quite know what it is, because if you go over their lineup from first to eighth, they got a really decent lineup. But I guess if you check their bullpen out, they just don't. You know, when they played St. Louis last week, I mean, I think Martinez just put his hands up in the air and said, what the hell do I do with this bullpen? And yeah. You can't win without a bullpen. You know that, especially down the stretch. And Philly's a young team. Atlanta is for real. Freddie Freeman's leading that team. They're for real. And from the start of the season, when Bryce Harper got off to such a terrible start, I mean, I know he's hitting home runs, Howard, but everybody is. Hey. So I told someone this the other day, I don't know, I'd like to get your opinion on this. I believe everybody that plays baseball today is potentially a home run hitter.
Yeah, and I agree, because, Pete, that's what they want him to do. And
yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. It's not about singles anymore. It's not about moving the runners anymore. It's about hitting either you walk or you hit home run, and they accept the strikeouts.
How about the amount? And I watch this religiously. How about the amount of pop ups? I mean, you watch these hitters in the on deck circle, and they actually are uppercutting when they're taking their practice swings. Now, the strangest stat to me this year so far, okay, and this guy's a pretty damn good hitter. I'm talking about Joey Votto. You know, he has 30 home runs every year. I looked the other day, and I think it's still true, he's on a DL. He's got 9 home runs. And you turn around and you look at Matt Carpenter, who's got 34.
I know.
And he's not a home run hitter. Now, I've gotten somewhat, I didn't get in trouble, but people kind of disagree with me. I don't know how you feel about this. I want to get your opinion. Howard, the ball's got to be, there's got to be some juice in those balls.
Hey, as you know, it's interesting you said that, Pete.
I'm not complaining about the players, okay? The players have to play with the baseballs that they put out there. What I'm about to tell you is something I never thought I'd ever do. I'm gonna defend pitchers, because the ballparks today are all bandboxes. The balls, I believe, are juiced up. Maybe they're not, okay? And umpires won't call strikes.
Well,
what chance does a pitcher have today?
Pete, I saw Keith Hernandez recently when the Mets were in.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing he said. You know, I asked him about the way the game's going. He says the balls are juiced. There's no question. The balls, it's like golf balls. It's unbelievable. But that's part of the problem. And then the hitters are told to hit home runs. I had Jason Wirth on last week, and Jason said that the super nerds in baseball are ruining the game because when you have it, here's a situation, and obviously you're a different type of player. I've always used Carlos Santana as this example. Man on first, nobody out, third or fourth inning, Phillies down two. Man on first, as I said, nobody out. The whole left side is open. The third baseman is deep near second base, and he doesn't lay down the bunt. He says, they don't want that anymore. They say, we don't want the bunt. We want you to hit a home run. And that's the problem.
What they're telling you in a roundabout way is, if we don't hit the home runs, we're not going to win. So we're not worried about winning. I mean, there's a reason why you hit behind a runner. There's a reason why you try to get a ball to hit to the outfield with a man on third less than two outs. There's a reason why you sacrifice bunt in certain situations. Okay? But baseball, you're absolutely right. They just want everybody to hit home runs. And that's fine because the athletes are big today. They're strong today. But you play in Yankee Stadium in right field. You play at Camden Yards. You play at your place in Philly, Cincinnati, Colorado. I mean, Houston is a joke. You ever been to that ballpark?
Yes, it is a
joke. I mean, I did an appearance here a couple months ago. I stood at home plate. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was in Williamsport.
And you would probably hit home runs there.
Well, I hit line drives, but the line drives, that's what players don't understand, Howard. They're strong, and the ball jumps off the bat. If you hit a line drive, it's going to go out of the ballpark. You don't have to elevate because it's hard to hit curveballs. If you're swinging up at everything. I mean, why is there so many more strikeouts today than base hits?
Pete,
I mean,
are they killing the game? I know it's not normal. Are they killing the game? The length of games is brutal. It's a walk, strikeout, or a home run. There's so many pitches. Are they killing the game with analytics?
Well, probably. And here's another thing. I mean, they're worried about speeding up the game, okay? You go to every Eagles game. Doesn't it take 3 hours, 3 hours, 15 minutes to play an Eagle game?
Yep.
So why is everybody in a hurry? Here's the way people are, okay? You're a Philly fan. All right, the Phillies play tonight, and they have an hour and 55-minute game, and they lose 1-0. You're pissed on the way home. They come back tomorrow night, and they beat Washington 15-2, and it takes 3 hours and 45 minutes. You're happy on the way home.
Some people don't wait till the end of the game, though.
You can't speed the game of baseball up, Howie, if you play a 9-inning game and you have 6 minutes of commercials every inning. They're not going to eliminate the commercials. They're worried about a clock out there telling the pitcher he has to throw in so many seconds. Where every batter steps out every pitch, except Matt Carpenter and a couple other guys, because they don't wear batting gloves, and they strap them up and strap them on every pitch.
I agree with, but
if it's not a first pitch swing, you have a long. I mean, these pitch counts, and I don't believe in a pitch counter. But you, like last night or 2 nights ago, I'm watching Justin Verlander, who's a really good pitcher. He had like 60 pitches in the third inning.
Because people are taking pitches. But here's another problem with the length of the game: 8 guys in the bullpen. What's the most pitchers on any team, either you played for or you managed? What's the most amount of relief pitchers you had on a team? Not assuming they brought somebody up.
Five or six.
Okay, they have eight guys.
Let me tell you about this. That's a good point, okay? I don't want to hear about pitching today so good, okay? Middle relief pitching. If you watch baseball, and I know you do, most of the runs scored today, Howie, will be in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. Okay, you got middle relief pitchers. What are middle relief pitchers? Middle relief pitchers are guys that aren't good enough to start, and they're not good enough to close. If you get to the playoffs, the middle relief pitchers become spectators. Because if you start a game, then it's the third game, they can bring you in for a couple innings, they're going to bring the starter back in, and the guy at the end is going to pitch more innings than he did during the season. And middle relief pitchers just sit there, and they become spectators.
Yeah, but isn't that one of the reasons that the games are so long? Because, and Gabe Kapler, like him or dislike him, it's all these matchups. You're changing pitchers in the middle. You can't let a pitcher pitch one inning anymore. They change. September's going to be a joke with all the pitchers they're going to bring up. it's going to be two or three pitchers an inning sometimes. It's going to be ridiculous. Isn't that part of the reason that the games are too lengthy?
Well, and the more pitchers you bring in, the longer the game's going to be.
Correct.
Because, you know, you got to take time out. They got to come in the bullpen. They got to warm up. I mean, they sit down. They get back up. I mean, that was Cleveland's problem for about a month or so. You know, and they're leading their division easily. I mean, they're the only team over 500. That's the worst team division in baseball. But their relief pitcher failed in when Andrew Miller got hurt. You know, that puts them behind the eight ball. So, you know, there's only a couple teams that really have what you would call really, really good relief pitching. And that's the teams that are at the top of the standings.
You know, how big a problem is that in terms of making the game exciting for the fans when you have all these relief pitchers? Think about that. You only have four players on the bench, so you don't have enough. So it's harder to pinch hit. Now, in the American League, you have the DH, but the National League, it's harder to pitch hit.
Well, when I played Howie or Mike Schmidt played, or, you know, when Joe Morgan played, I mean, it wasn't a deal where, Mike Schmidt's up, I got to bring a right-hander in to get him out. That wasn't the way it was. Or you're going to bring a left-hander in to get Joe Morgan. Because Mike Schmidt could hit right-handers. Joe Morgan could hit left-handers. You know, you don't match up. You just match up against you don't win too many matchups when you try to match up with good players, with really good, solid hitters. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you got a guy that's look at the averages. I mean, you got some guys. You know, you got this kid in Baltimore, Chris Davis. We're at the end of August. He's still hitting 166. You've got a lot of guys playing baseball today, Howard, that aren't at 200.
Hey, how about Gabe Kapler? I criticized his comment that Carlos Santana was having a good year, and then he approached me about it. He's hitting 215. And he says, well, how many RBIs? Who's second on our team in RBIs? I said, I had to think what he was talking about. I said, Carlos Santana. I said, yeah, but you've scored two runs or less in 40 games. What does second in RBIs mean? But here was the key thing. I said, do you think 215 is a good average? He said, it's not good or bad. You know, all they do is look at on-base percentage. Walks don't drive in runs. You've got to be especially playing.
I mean, 215. I mean, most guys will hit more than they weigh.
Yes.
If you hit your weight in baseball, unless you're Aaron Judge or somebody, you're having a bad year. Okay, and he weighs 270, 275.
Right.
I mean, the National League batting champion right now would be Freddie Freeman. And Moustakas, the guy that is behind him, is second. And you got the guy, Scooter Jeanette from Cincinnati. He's never hit 300 before, I don't think. And 4 weeks ago, he was hitting 342.
Yeah, Pete, it is amazing.
Now, you got the American League. I mean, I believe, I don't know how you feel about this, but I believe Boston's the best team in baseball.
Yeah, but the best team doesn't always win the World Series either.
Boston has MVP candidates.
Yeah.
They got guys that can hit and hit home runs. JT Martinez hitting 325 or so. Mookie Betts hitting 340-something, and they're MVP candidates. You know, in Cleveland, Ramirez, the third baseman, is really good. He's really a good hitter and gets on base, drives in runs. You know, I can't think of an MVP candidate for the National League. Can you? I was looking at my...
Freddie Freeman might be from Atlanta.
Freddie's leading the league in runs scored, and he's hitting 318 or something like that. I mean, Philadelphia, do they have an MVP candidate?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think Milwaukee.
Reese Hoskins is good, but he's not an MVP candidate.
Yeah. What about a guy leading the league in home runs? Matt Carpenter's got 34 or so. He's leading the league in runs scored. He's real close to the lead in hits, and he got off to a terrible start. But he's up to 275 now.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Is this one of those years where you're going to have an MVP? It's not going to be a 300 hitter. I mean, that's what baseball wanted, Howie, and that's what they're getting.
You know what?
There's no way in the world a commissioner of baseball, and he's trying to do a great job, believe me, that he wants more strikeouts by far than hits.
Well, okay. First of all, there's no such thing as a single anymore. There's no, you don't move up runners. It's very rare you see first to third.
Don't forget, we're forgetting about doubles and triples too.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I tell people this all the time, Howie. If you're a guy that's going to play every day and you're going to bat 550, 600 times, I don't give a darn if you swing from your ass every pitch to try to hit a home run. You're not going to hit 50, so you're going to hit 45 home runs. What are you going to do with those other 550 at-bats?
You look at
some of these guys, they'll have 26 home runs and 54 RBIs.
Yeah, and the Phillies are classic at hitting home runs with nobody on base. That's a problem. By the way,
I'm not going to complain about the Phillies, and I'll tell you why. Because they're playing good, they're right where they want to be, and they got a chance of going to the playoffs.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to ask you.
There's about 16, 17 teams have no chance of going to the playoffs.
Okay,
so the Phillies, in their own way, have rebuilt that ball club. And they're probably a decent ball club to watch, and they're playing really good baseball. So the Phillies, the Braves, they're the teams I can't complain about because they're right where they want to be, okay? Milwaukee's having a good year. They're right where they want to be. Chicago, St. Louis, okay? That's about it.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to ask you about the Phillies. And, yeah, they have a chance, and there's probably a good chance. I'm not sure that they're better than Atlanta, and those are the only two teams in this division.
Well, you got a wild card too, don't forget.
Well, yeah, you got the wild card, and the Phillies have an advantage because the division's so bad
over the
other teams who have to play each other. But can a team, let's say they make the playoffs, can a team be successful who struggles to score runs, and they do it mostly with the home run, and can't catch the ball? And the Phillies' defense is like second or third worst in the league. Can you win?
I didn't know that, but if that's true, and I don't doubt your statistics, that's going to bite you. That's going to come up to bite you because, you know, if you don't hit the ball and you don't catch the ball, it's going to be hard to win.
Yeah,
okay? Because I know Atlanta catches the ball, and I know Atlanta hits the ball. And I would think the Phillies would even hit the ball better at their ballpark because I think everybody will agree that ballpark where the Phillies play is a hitter's ballpark.
Oh, clearly.
There's no question about that.
But
I don't know why they wouldn't catch the ball because, you know, making double plays, hitting a cutoff man, catching fly balls, catching ground balls is part of the game. And when you got the athletes like you got today, if they don't work at their craft, they're not going to be good at their craft. So I'll watch that, but that's a minus for the Phillies if they don't catch the ball. Now, I must tell you, I don't watch the Phillies every day like you do, so I can't critique the Phillies like I'd like to. If it gets down to September and them and Atlanta are battling for it, because I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't think Washington's going to be there.
No.
And if
no.
you look at Washington's lineup, they got a pretty damn good lineup.
Okay, so who wins the division, the Phillies or Atlanta?
I would say right now, on pitching and defense, probably Atlanta.
Yeah, because pitching and defense are important. The Phillies have good starting pitching.
Philly is going to challenge them.
Right.
And I think the Phillies can make a push for a wild card. And once you get into that playoffs, hey, you can get a couple lightning bolts to go out there and pitch for you, and you can end up getting to the next round.
Because,
you know, when you start playing three out of fives and four out of sevens, the Phillies should hit better if they're playing in their ballpark. I mean, I would have loved to hit that ballpark. I mean, that's a beautiful ballpark. A lot of people, and the ball flies out of there.
Can you imagine if Schmidt played in this ballpark, how many home runs he would hit?
Yeah, he'd be right ahead by two or three of Wazinski.
That's exactly. Hey, listen, I guess it's a thank you. Back when you were here in the early 80s, you started calling me the King, and then it is stuck for, what's that, over 30 years?
You're the King, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I was the King back then.
I love you as the King, but will you stay out of trouble?
Okay.
Stay out of the damn clubhouse. you're like me, man. You always see you always say what you think.
Exactly.
And a lot of times people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth.
Maybe I don't know why you called me the King, but that's a good reason. Hey, Pete. All right. So now you think Atlanta's going to win. I know you watch football.
I'm picking Atlanta. I'd rather pick Philly.
Right.
But when you tell me they can't catch the ball and they don't hit in the clutch, I'm not going to pick a team like that.
All right, so now I know you watch a lot of football. Obviously, being in Las Vegas, you watch a lot of football. How amazed were you with the Eagles season last year?
Oh, you get a hot quarterback, and that's what happens. I mean, the Eagles are fundamentally sound, too, man. They play defense. They hit hard. They play good at home. You know, they'll be right back there again this year. I mean, they got the feeling now. They know how it feels to be a world champion. And, you know, that can carry you a long way. And I know right now you get that Wentz back. I mean, Foles is good, man. I mean, he was really the talk of the league last year.
Okay, so here's the point. How hard is it, and you've won championships, obviously, multiple times, to come back the next year and have that same desire and same energy?
Well, I don't think that's the problem at all, the same desire and same energy. What happens to teams usually, Howie, is when they win a world championship, okay, a key player will become a free agent and move and leave that team. Now, I don't know if the Eagles have lost any really key players. Everybody loses players to injury. But when you have an outstanding year and you win a world championship of any sport, there's always guys that want to go to richer and greener pastures. Mm-hmm. And that's what hurts your ball club. I don't think as far as the feeling never leaves you when you win a World Series or a football championship. You want that. You know, once I won in 1975, I lost in 70 and 72 and 73. Once you win, you want to win every year because you got to experience that feeling to understand what that feeling means. And I think all the Eagle players right now, they're not going to have a hangover from winning last year. I don't think so at all. You're a good team. You're a good team. You know, fundamentally, play the game the way it's supposed to be played. Make the tackles, catch the ball. You know, do the blocking. I mean, you know, the attitude's going to be there because they're champions now, and they want to repeat. And it's hard to repeat.
Right.
Go over there and ask Tom Brady. You know, he brings the same attitude every year.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And that's why he goes to the championship every year. LeBron James brings the same attitude every year, no matter where he is. You know, if you think you're going to win, you probably will win. If you doubt yourself, you're not going to win. It's pretty simple.
Hey, Pete, you live in Las Vegas now. Now, what is the reason? People are going to say because, obviously, there's sports books there, which now they're becoming all over the place. But what is it about Las Vegas that is the reason that you want to live there?
Okay, Las Vegas is the only town in the world, Howard, that you can do my gig in. What is my gig? I go to the Mandalay Bay Shopping Mall or the MGM Shopping Mall or the Mirage Shopping Mall. We have three stores. And I sign autographs from 12 o'clock to 4:30, 20 days a month. And as the people listening to your show may not know, every 3 or 4 days, millions come in, millions leave. Last year, 42 million people visited Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, if I could do this gig in Cincinnati, I'd live there. If I could do this gig in L.A., I would live there. But this is a place where thousands come in, and they got money in their pocket, and they want to see a celebrity.
And you enjoy the environment in Las Vegas?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a casino gambler. You know that. Yeah. You know, I've been on sports, but I'm not a casino gambler. I'm sitting here right now looking at Aria and looking at the MGM because I'm on the 10th floor where I live in a high-rise, getting ready to go to work today over at the Mandalay Bay. But this is the greatest town. And I lived in Boca, and I lived in L.A., and I'm from Cincinnati. This town is the best people watching town, the best restaurants, the best shows, the best shopping, and taxes, no taxes, and real estate is cheap. I mean, there's so many more people. There's almost 2 million people living in this town, and 8 years ago, there was 500,000 or 600,000. And it's not everybody don't come here because they're gamblers. You know, that's something that wasn't true about me. He's going there because he can gamble. Well, you know as well as I, you can gamble everywhere in the world now.
Yeah. Pete,
I just think, and I've become a hockey fan, Howard, because of the team we got out here.
Yeah,
I have never seen a town take on a team like they did the Golden Knights. I went to some of the games, and if you know what I mean, Howie, it's the hockey games here are a Vegas production, and you know about the Vegas production on things. They know They know how to do it. And it's sold out every game. I tried to buy a couple of season tickets the other day for a friend of mine, and they're sold out.
Yeah.
Partials are sold out. I mean, and you know, they went to the finals last year.
I know, it's amazing.
An expansion team going to the finals is unheard of.
It's amazing.
And now, and not next year, but the year after that, we're going to have the Raiders come in. I go by where the Raiders Stadium is being built every day when I go to work. And that thing is going up, and that's going to be a magnificent stadium. I mean, it's going to be, you know, just like it should be. It's right down the street from T-Mobile Arena, where all the fights are.
All right, let's look at the Hall of Fame. Do you think that there's ever going to be a chance where you will get in the Hall of Fame?
No. And I hate to say that, Howie, but here's the situation. Every player in his or her sport should want to be they have the ultimate situation. That's go to your Hall of Fame. Okay? And I've been suspended 28 years. Well, I think yesterday I was suspended, the 20th. I think August 20th was the day I got suspended in 1869. I know that because it was 2 days before my little girl's birthday, and her birthday's tomorrow. It should be 28. So I've been suspended 28 years. And I'm happy with where I am in my life, Howie. I got my number retired in Cincinnati. I made the Reds Hall of Fame. I got a statue outside the ballpark. And, you know, I'm from Cincinnati. I was born 3 miles from the ballpark. But if baseball would ever change your mind, I'd be the happiest guy in the world. But I'm not going to pray tonight before I go to bed that I make the Hall of Fame. You know, I know what the Hall of Fame stands for. You know, I came up to 63. The first player I played against to make the Hall of Fame 5 years after that was Stan Musial. So every player from, except the old-timers, after 68, I either played with or against and went to the Hall of Fame. So I know a little bit about what's going on up in Cooperstown. And that's a wonderful little village up there in Cooperstown. And I hope baseball can get these things fixed that we talked about and continue to grow. Just continue to grow and continue to do the good things, because I'm always in baseball's corner as far as going around the country and talking positive about the game of baseball. And by the way, Howard, on October 20th, I'm going to do my show, my live show, at 7 o'clock over there at the University of Temple. And what's that center called over there?
Leocora Center.
I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock on October 20th just to talk about the old Phillies and playing with Mike Schmidt and playing with Joe Morgan and playing with Gary Carter and going to Vietnam with Joe DiMaggio and just all the different things that we really have a good time, and it's really a fun situation. And don't come unless you want to laugh your ass off, okay?
Okay.
And I'll give you a free ticket.
All right, Gita. That's because I'm the king. All right, so now, as far as baseball, have you talked, or when's the last time you talked to the commissioner, Rob Manfred?
It was right after he took over in January, and I went to New York and talked to him, and he decided not to reinstate me, which is fine. You know, I have nothing to say about any commissioner or anybody in my situation, Howard, and I'll tell you why. Because I can't get on your show and complain about not being in the Hall of Fame, because I'm the one that screwed up. I'm the one that screwed up, okay? So I have to live with the consequences. If they ever decide to give me a second chance, I'll be the happiest guy in the world. But, you know, when you make the mistake, you can't complain about it, okay? It just seems like baseball is unwilling to give me a second chance, where everyone else, it seems like, whether they do this or do that or do this, they get second chances. I just chose the wrong vice. And I know what happened in 1919. I know what happened with the Black Sox scandal. I'm aware of that. But, you know, I did nothing to alter statistics of baseball. You know, I played the game the way you want it to be played. You saw me play for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always understood that the people were in the stands and you can't cheat the people and you got to bust your ass and play hard. And I left Philadelphia because Philadelphia fans are this. Okay, they want you to do two things. They want you to play hard, and they want you to win. What's wrong with fans that want that? That's what every fan should want from every player that plays in his or her town.
Pete, how much do you regret betting on baseball?
Oh, that's the only thing I'd ever change in my life if I had my life to change over. I mean, but I can't. It's history. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. And to be honest with you, I don't even know why, but it's just I didn't have enough to do at that time. So, you know, I mean, I didn't hurt you. I didn't hurt nobody but myself.
Right.
But I still was wrong. But you can just constantly say you're wrong and constantly apologize, and not everybody's going to hear you, okay? And that's the way, that's where we are right now. But I'm still the biggest supporter baseball has, okay? I believe, and I could be wrong, I believe I'm the best ambassador baseball has. What do I do? 4.5 hours a day, I sit there and sign autographs and talk to kids and talk to dads, and I talk positive about the game of baseball. I don't badmouth the game because of steroids or because the guys aren't running balls out or because the guys, even today, taking drugs. You know, I mean, I try to talk positive about the game.
All right, I'll ask you this. Is it fair, and there, it doesn't appear that the steroid guys are going to get in, although some people are pushing for it. Most of the former older players from your generation are not. But is it fair that A-Rod is accepted by baseball, has a prominent job on a broadcast, and he clearly, I mean, even admittedly now, after a while, admitted he did steroids and altered games and altered statistics. Is that right, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think that's right, but you got to remember, Howie. A-Rod's my man. I've worked with A-Rod on Fox, and I know he's on ESPN now, and he does this. I mean, A-Rod's everywhere, everywhere. But A-Rod, he's one of the three players in the history of baseball with over 2,000 runs scored and 2,000 RBIs. The other two are Henry Aaron and Babe Ruth. Okay?
Yeah, but he cheated to get there. He cheated to get those numbers.
I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about when Barry Bonds cheated or when Roger Clemens cheated or when A-Rod cheated. But I look at it like this, okay? And this is my own personal opinion. If those three guys we just mentioned aren't in the Hall of Fame, you shouldn't have a Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens won 7 Cy Youngs, and he went to 3 courts and said he didn't take steroids. Barry Bonds hit over 760 home runs. Okay, and he was a pretty damn good hitter. You watched him before he went to San Francisco. And I don't think Barry Bonds messed with any kind of drugs. And I don't know this for a fact. I don't think he took any kind of drugs until Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire had that home run derby in the summer of 97.
Yeah, but he still did it, Pete.
I know. Hey, they made mistakes. They made mistakes. What are you going to do? You can't, how do we know who took steroids? Let me ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
You're pretty much up to speed of what's going on. Do you think there's any players today that took steroids in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay, so. But you're going to be okay with that, but you're not going to be okay
with
that. But
they weren't caught, and that's the most. They weren't. Hey, listen, I don't think it's right, but you can't deny a guy who was. Barry Bonds can say he wasn't caught, but he admitted he used a cream that was illegal. Yeah. So, but his helmet size, I knew that the manufacturer of helmets back then went from 7.25 to 9. How does that happen? I mean, it's amazing. Think about that.
Hey, listen, not taking steroids, I can't answer that question. You mean to tell me if I'd have took steroids, I'd have got 5,000 hits?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a joke. All right, so now the Phillies, obviously you're a major part of Phillies history. But on the Wall of Fame night, you were uninvited. For reasons, and obviously we all understand that. How upset were you and disappointed that happened?
Well, I was disappointed, obviously, because I had such a relationship with the Philly fans, and I wanted to be there. I mean, I wanted to be on the Wall of Fame. I mean, that's an honor to be on the Wall of Fame, and I understand the Phillies' position. And I'm happy. I'm happy I played 5 years in Philadelphia. And it's kind of amazing that everybody can react to a situation that supposedly happened 43 years ago. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, is anybody safe from anything?
Well, but John Dowd, so where does it stand with John Dowd is the one that brought it up, right? The former investigator in the...
Yeah, he brought it up on a radio show with Philly Billy.
Right.
I didn't like the fact that he's on the radio saying I went out with underage girls in Florida, which was not true. But that case is over with, and John Smith turned the page. He works for Trump now, and I work for Fetterman Sports in Houston. So, you know, that's another thing that just the way we live today, Howie, nothing is sacred. You could have did something supposedly 60 years ago today, and they'll get you.
Well, if you did it, then they look back on it. So you're saying you never did it?
No, I didn't do it, no.
Okay. All right, so will you ever be allowed, do you think, to participate in baseball events in the future?
Oh, yeah. I'm, and that's funny, Howie, that in the last 3 or 4 years, the Reds sold out. Me going into the Hall of Fame. The Reds sold out bobblehead night. The Reds sold out retiring my jersey. The Reds sold out my statue. In all four events, I'm on the field.
Well, do you think...
But listen to this, okay? Let the fans think about this. So, in other words, four sellouts in the last couple years happened because I was on the field. No one else is on the field. I was the only one, pregame, okay? Yet I have never, never been in the Reds clubhouse, the new stadium.
Because,
I'm not allowed in the clubhouse.
Okay.
I'm not allowed in the batting cage.
So do you think that's right or wrong with what's happened in the past?
Well, what I'm saying is it's okay for baseball, Reds baseball we're talking about now,
right,
to make money on me. And I must tell you, the last couple of years, baseball has lightened up. I'm allowed to go do appearances at minor league ballparks. They don't stand in the way of that. I appreciate that because I think they've understood that when I go to a ballpark that's in the minor leagues or big leagues, it's a positive situation. I'm not going to get up on a microphone and badmouth anybody. I'm going to try to make everybody happy that's at the ballpark that night.
But do you think you will be allowed to do any appearance-type events at Major League ballparks in the future?
Well, I don't know what kind of events you're talking about now because...
Well, they're honoring, you know, baseball greats. Let's say the Phillies, well, you're not here for the 80 team. I don't know if they'll have another reunion. You're not good. Would you, if they say...
I was back there 2 months ago in Cincinnati when they put this year's Hall of Fame.
So you were permitted to participate in their event?
Okay. Yeah, I was on the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that still exists. All right, here's a question, and people ask me, do you think Pete Rose is going to be in the Hall of Fame? And you said no. And my point is...
I said no, but I hope so.
Yeah, right. My point is, because of what you've accomplished in the game, and nobody will break that hit record, you'll be the all-time hit leader, it's never going to change. I think if they don't want you to work for a team, I can deal with that, or I can deal with it, but you have to deal with it. But do you think if they allowed you, and you would still accept not being able to work for a team or participate in team events in the future, if they allowed you at least to be voted on for the Hall of Fame?
Well, yeah, I don't like to start saying you can do this, but you can't do this. Because, Howie, here's the way I got to say it, okay? You know this as well as I. When I'm around young players become better players. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back right now, because you can't fool the Philly fans. They're too intelligent. Okay, I'm good to be around a team because of my enthusiasm, because of my knowledge, because of my love for the game. I'm good for a team. I can help young players. You know, I'm talking about young players at the big league level. I'm not talking about high school players or little league players. I do that every day. But you can't tell me if I'm hanging around young players that they won't become better players. I understand people. I was a manager for 6 years. I understood people. I had a lot of great players that I brought up, and I helped them become better players. And if you talk to them, they'll tell you that. So that baseball needs more positive people around the players to make the players better players. You know, that's why I opened up a baseball camp in Katy, Texas. That way I got tired of watching the way baseball is played on a nightly basis. There's no fundamentals.
I know.
Hit the cutoff, man. You know, make the double play. Bunt the guy over. Don't throw the ball wildly trying to pick off. I mean, there's so many mistakes in baseball. So many mistakes. This is big league baseball we're talking about. This is the ultimate. This is where the guys are the best. You have to, I'm sorry when I watch games and guys will throw to the wrong base or guys won't know how many outs there are. They run off the field and it's the second out. Or they start to run the first and it's ball three. I mean, they're just not up to speed on what's going on in the game. Philly fans see it. They probably see it over there, and they got a good team. What about these bad teams? What about these teams that already got 70, 80 losses? We got 6 weeks to go.
Yeah, but if a guy hits 30-plus home runs, the team doesn't care whether he knows or respects the fundamentals of the game.
That's fine if that's what they think, but that team's not going to win. It's pretty simple.
Yep.
You want three guys to hit 30 home runs, or do you want to win 98 games? Ask yourself that question.
And you can't do it if you don't do the other thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why a couple years ago Kansas City was such a good team. They played National League baseball. Get on, bunt them over, get them in. Get them over from second to third, get them in.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen anymore.
You need home runs. You need home runs in the game. But you need some two-out base hits with a man on second, too. You know, you need to win some of those one-run games. The teams that win the one-run games are usually the team that's going to be in the playoffs. Am I right about that?
Yep. Have you watched much of Odubel Herrera for the Phillies?
Yeah, I like his stance. I mean, he's got one foot on one line and one foot on the other line.
Yeah.
But he swings that bat, though. I mean,
yeah, but
I noticed, what's he hitting in the 270?
Not anymore. He's below that now.
He'll get better. Everybody has hot and cold streaks, okay?
There's a guy that forgets outs. There's a guy that forgets. I mean, he turned around first base. He couldn't locate the ball. Turned to second, got thrown out at first when the Phillies were down two runs.
Well, you got to have somebody over there that's coaching him and staying on his ass and remind him all the time that, hey, man, you're not a star yet. Your team's right out of first place, and you got to keep learning how to play the game of baseball. I don't know who his batting coach is. I don't know who his coach is that works on fundamentals. I mean, I know when I was there with the Philadelphia Phillies, we had guys like Billy DeMars and people like that who understood the game of baseball, yeah. John Vukovich, and they tell you, if you make a mistake, they tell you what you did wrong, what you did right. Just don't yell at a guy when he does wrong. Pat him on the back when he does well.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to constantly stay on young players. You know, I had Sabo, I had Larkin, I had O'Neill, I had Daniels, I had Treadway, I had Stillwell, I had Eric Davis. I mean, I had all those young players, and you got to keep drilling into their head the right way to play the game of baseball. And Howie, that starts at spring training.
Yes.
That's what spring training's for, because I could be wrong, but does the Phillies take infield anymore?
Yeah, they do, but it's not as intense as it used to be. There's no extra fielding. I don't think there's any extra fielding.
Sparky Anderson used to tell me that taking infield is part of the price of the ticket. And if he said, you can't take infield, okay, you can't play because there's something wrong with you. And I know for a fact, God rest his soul, Don Zimmer was with the Colorado Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was doing my radio show from Florida, and he quit. He resigned in baseball during the season. And we went to the same high school, so we're good friends. And I had him on my show, and I said, Zip, it's very unlike you to quit in the middle of the season. He said, Petey, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I told my wife, when I go out to hit infield practice, and I got a pitcher at third base and another pitcher at second base, and it's the third baseman and the second baseman are in the clubhouse eating a sandwich, watching TV, it's time for me to get out. Yeah. And I'll tell you who the manager was, Don Baylor.
Wow.
And when something like that happens, Howie, it's the manager's fault.
Yep.
If a guy misses a bus, it's the manager's fault.
Yep, they're afraid to yell at players anymore because they make so much money. Because they'll stay.
You've got to yell in a certain way that they understand. You can't have a guy constantly late to practice. You can't have a constantly guy missing a plane, missing a bus. Big Red Machine, we had nobody miss practice. Nobody was late. Nobody missed airplanes. Nobody missed buses.
Nope.
You know, how about guys in spring training? They'll go to a spring training game. Oh, I forgot my shoes. How do you forget your shoes? I forgot my glove.
Well, they have five of them now.
They got their billfold with them.
Yeah, right. They do have that. Hey, Pete, I will say...
God bless them. I'm happy for them.
I'll say hello to my son for you, too.
Pee-wee.
He was a peewee then. He's not a peewee now. But I'll make sure.
Now, let me tell you somehow, and I hope I'm wrong about this. Now, you're going to be better off if you lay off of Gabe a little bit, because I could tell during this interview you were ready to get on Gabe Kapler. I don't know Gabe. I don't know what kind of job he does as a manager, but that town is enough scrutiny, believe me, just to be the manager of the team. Without guys covering the team having all the scrutiny.
Well, I backed off of Gabe because I backed off of him. I don't like all the things he does. I think you know, the shifts are a joke because half the time they don't work.
I never have understood the shift.
It's a joke. Here, I'll get one more thing. The Boston Red Sox are in. Porcello's the pitcher. Now he's the hitter. Now, American League pitchers, as we both know, don't hit 98% of the time, only when they play National League teams.
Correct.
He's got a shift in the outfield where the right fielder, Nick Williams, was close to the line in about 225 feet. He had a fly ball shaded a little bit to right center. Not in right center. It was in right field. It bounced 30 yards before the track, and it ended up being a double. How do you have a chart on a player that doesn't hit?
You don't. I mean, first of all, charts. I mean, charts are something because most of the pitchers pitching today, Howie, they can't pitch into the charts. I mean, we're gonna put a shift on a guy to right field, and we're gonna pitch the guy away. I mean, does that make any sense?
No.
Or we're gonna play him away, and then we're gonna pitch him in, because you know and I know there's some damn good pitchers out there today. But they still don't throw the ball where they want to throw it, or throw the ball where they need to throw it.
I'm just afraid computers are going to...
That didn't play the game, that went to college and they got their degrees and they wear their ties and they go to the ballpark. God love them. God love them.
I'm afraid computers are going to take over the game. That's what I don't want to say. One thing to use the information.
Who was the guy that got kicked out 2 days ago? Zorbas? Zobis?
Zorbis.
First time he ever got kicked out of a game in his career and was on a third strike, and they said, well, what did you say to him? He says, well, they're going to have that automatic thing take over from you guys.
someday that's going to happen.
The umpire got pissed and kicked him out of the game.
It's great. Hey, Pete, I appreciate this. Thanks, and I'll say hello to Pee-wee for you.
All right, buddy. Anytime, Howard. Good luck to you, all right?
All right.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
All right, buddy.
Take care. Okay, so I got a few things from my discussion with Pete Rose. Told me to back off Gabe Kapler, which I've already told him I've already done. But I still don't like a manager who's into charts and computers. But nonetheless, I'm okay with that. So I'll take that suggestion from Pete Rose. The other thing, obviously, baseball has some issues, and I get all that, but some interesting stuff in the fact that he dealt with everything. You may not want to believe or not believe him, but he dealt with everything, and that's a good thing. And he was speaking the truth. He wants the Phillies to win, but thinks Atlanta, when you look at what Atlanta's done, Atlanta's a good team, but it's going to come right down to the end.
And I understand that, and that's a good thing for Phillies fans that they'll be in a pennant race throughout the rest of the year. But the other thing that he told me, and I want to, and we were talking before and after we did it, he wanted to make a point. He wanted to be sure to have people understand that in his time in Philadelphia, it was 5 years, that without Dallas Green, and I think people have said that before, and the people that didn't get to really experience the kind of manager Dallas Green was, without Dallas Green, the Phillies would not have won a World Series, because he knew what to do and what buttons to press with what players, which wouldn't work today because the players are so sensitive, and Pete agreed with that. But he couldn't say enough good things about Dallas Green and what he meant to that 80 team. But the fact, I didn't even realize they had four managers in his 5 years, still went to the playoffs once and won a World Series once. But his memory, obviously, is the World Series and winning the World Series and the things that that team accomplished and the things that Dallas Green, he said, knew because a lot of those players he had brought up through the system, which is kind of an interesting twist to the whole thing. But Dallas Green's type of managing, he said, clearly would not work today. The other thing that I want to mention, Doug Peterson's new book, Fearless. It's interesting that he shared a lot of things with people in that book, and I haven't read it yet, and I've got it. I started to read it. But the excerpts about Mike Lombardi, who sent him a letter of apology on the way he talked about him last year, you know, in the comment, which most people, if not all people, remember. He's the least qualified person to be a head coach in his 30 years of football. Obviously, that was stupid and ignorant. Mike Lombardi addressed that, apologized, but with that apology, he wanted to write the book. So did he apologize because he really meant it, or did he apologize because he wanted to write the book? It's just a question by me. That's just a question. So I wonder about that. But Doug Peterson shared a lot of experiences, things that we hadn't heard about in that book. The book's called Fearless. It is out now. And it's things that you don't hear from Doug Peterson in news conferences, and you don't hear from Doug Peterson in interviews, but you will start to hear him. But at first, he really didn't want to do the book. Then he decided to do it, and he talked about things he normally wouldn't talk about. So the Mike Lombardi thing kind of stood out to me, that he sent a letter of apology. And was it really because he just wanted to write the book with Doug Peterson? All right, thanks for joining us on the Howard Eskin podcast. Matt Ryan is the starting quarterback for the against the Eagles in their first game. Now, it's in their first game, but he was the quarterback of the last game of the regular in the playoffs. The last game that Matt Ryan played was against the Eagles. The first game this season Matt Ryan will play will be against the Eagles. And I will talk to Matt Ryan and get his feelings on that game, the upcoming game, and about the Philadelphia Eagles. Thanks for joining us on the Howard Eskin podcast.